This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. You know, each year whenever I attend Fechter's Finger Flicking Frolic out in Batavia, New York, I always have a great time, and there are some really top magicians who are extremely creative, and I always like to try and sit down and do an extended interview with some of the magicians who are in attendance there. Of course, I do daily updates from the convention there, so that way that even though you're not there, you can kind of get the sense of, and feel of what the convention vibe is like each year. Not only at that convention, of course, but at other conventions that I attend, and I hope that you enjoy those and continue to listen as I will be attending some more conventions here this year and posting those daily updates. But this year there were a few people who will be posted in upcoming weeks that I had sat down and talked with, and this week we're going to feature Kieron Johnson. I had not seen him perform before, nor had I known very much about him, actually. I did see him in the British Gala and found that he was completely different from what the others were. I would say he really has this bizarre type of character and performance and style, but really kind of blew us away with a couple of his things that he did, in which that he had created this boiling tea that was inside of a soda can, and then also you could have a signed card which was then inside of a Ziploc bag inside of his wallet that you had to break open the ice in order to get to your card. A couple of really great ideas, which, by the way, he does market, and I think I'm going to be able to post those on the Magic Store, so you can take a look at those and see if they interest you and might want to purchase those ideas. But he has offered those ideas and some others to some top working magicians in and around England. But besides being a creative guy and also a magician, that he also is a regurgitator. Yeah, you know, I think that's the kind of thing that you would see in a freak show if you were going to be in the old-time circuses from years ago, where you'd have the geek who would bite the heads off of chickens or something like that. Doesn't go quite that far, but this is something that I would say that his style is not for the squeamish. In fact, I had posted a video which I recorded during our conversation that is on the MagicWordPodcast.com. So you can hear my reaction as he does some of the regurgitation towards the end of this podcast. And I was recording that, and you can actually see what he did by going to the podcast website and seeing that. Again, let me just say that once you see it, you can't unsee it. Oh gosh, it's going to remain with me in my mind for a long time. Oh boy, yeah, this was quite different. So again, he's a regurgitator, and there probably are a handful, maybe six or eight, less than 10 in the world who actually physically can do this, or even if you can do it, why would you do this? He kind of goes into that and talks about it in this podcast here this week. And I would also want to remind you that towards the end, of course, podcast, we will be having our trick reviews of the week from Murphy's Magic Supplies, and this week we're going to be talking about at the table lectures. There are three different lectures that I had viewed and give you my report on what I think, as well as giving you an update on the contest that we're running, that we're going to run for another week. And if you haven't yet entered, there's more information on the back end of this podcast that you can learn how that you can enter the contest to win a really good book. So I think that you kind of have been forewarned, and so whether you want to listen or not, here it comes right now. Kieron Johnson on The Magic Word. Hello, this is Scott Wells for TheMagicWordPodcast.com, and today I have with me a guest who I had got a chance to spend some time with at this recent annual 4F convention. That's the Fechter's Finger Flicking Frolic out in New York. And Kieron and I had some email conversations back and forth, and I got to meet him personally up close, and now you guys get to, too. Please welcome Kieron Johnson. Hi there, Kieron.
Hi, Scott. Thank you for having me.
So glad that you can be here to be had.
Yeah.
So all the way from UK, this is your first 4F convention, is that right?
Yeah, my first. Yep. I kind of don't want to leave, though.
I feel like you found home.
I do.
Found your brothers.
It's just the most amazing place. It's like mind-blowing magic everywhere.
Yeah.
It's fun. I just feel like, you know, I think this is the first convention I've ever been to where we all talk about families and kids and mm-hmm. pictures. And I'm like, I don't think I've ever been to a convention where I've talked about my family or kids or talked about...
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm connecting with people that are, in the same road. They're on the road, they're traveling, they're lecturing, they're
sure.
touring.
Yeah.
And then I think it's just nice to be...
Well, it shows that all of us have a personal side. In other words, I think that everybody appreciates that we have the same level of skills. Well, I wouldn't compare myself with some of the guys, Tamariz and others who come here, obviously, but I'm just saying that we, amazing. As far as some knowledge, may not do it as well, but we have some knowledge of or a piece of such that we can kind of feel comfortable rubbing shoulders with those kinds of guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so anyhow, you have just finished a tour of France or England, or France.
It's quite funny. I thought I was going on a France trip because I told everyone I was going on a tour of France.
Yeah.
It turned out it was a tour of Europe. Yeah. So when I was mapping it out, I said to my friend, "Oh, there must be a Milan in France." I didn't know about. It turned out that I was going to France, Belgium, Spain, Italy. I was a bit silly, but yeah, it was a great tour. Tiring but good. But
and you were telling me earlier that the more often you're doing it, obviously you're getting a little bit
better. I mean, my whole theory is like structured chaos.
Uh-huh.
It feels weird for me because obviously in my lecture I structure things a bit better, but when I perform normally I don't have a structure.
Uh-huh.
So I have a trick where I force things. But if I was doing it in the normal world,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't force them. I'd see whether the roll of the dice, but because I want to show certain effects and certain designs that stand out maybe from other designs I have,
mm-hmm.
It was good. But I think as the tour progressed, I got more confident up there. One of the interesting things is obviously when you don't speak a language.
Yeah, that must be difficult.
It is. I'm working with the translators. Every translator I worked with was amazing,
mm-hmm.
and they were really patient. But it was hard work.
Did you feel like you had to slow down and say something that stopped and let them...
Yeah, sometimes it was like that. There was one place in Mulhouse, the loveliest place you'll ever go, and no one spoke English.
Lovely.
One guy went, you were very visual, apparently, and I'm like, you speak English? No, not really. This is a guy. No. And then, so I kind of just did things pretty much silent, and it somehow worked. I didn't get the theory.
Really?
I wouldn't, because the stuff I do is very visual, so
right.
I was able to like explain very slowly. Mm-hmm. I was making it, and they were kind of just following along. I think they enjoyed it. They bought
right.
stuff, so
right.
they were
right.
smiling.
But in your lecture, normally you would talk a little bit about theory, and
I try and make it fun. So I try and cover theory of why and how I do stuff, but I also try and put quality tricks in there as well. So mm-hmm. I try to make it so it's good theory, but also good quality.
Right.
I try not to be a dealer dam. Mm-hmm. I just try and... I think the comments were the two best tricks were the ones that were free. So
but
that's fine. I'm just happy to share the work and talk about what inspires me and how I came up with this stuff, really.
Right. Now, going back, I guess... yesterday, whenever I was watching your show, and that you capture everyone's attention whenever that you take off your glasses and kind of do something bizarre, sticking the part of your glass up your nose.
Well, it's a good way to get attention quickly with mm-hmm. a crowd. I think, especially a crowd like 4F, they've seen it all. So mm-hmm. when a guy comes out and just does that, they're like, "What?" Take note, and then I did the polos where they link and stuff. They're like, mm-hmm. "What is this guy on?"
Right,
like
so, different kind of a thing. Do you find that your style is similar or a lot different over in the UK? Are there other people who are doing?
It's complicated because I was my own style in the UK for a long time.
Yeah,
because which is great the way I'm thinking, but because obviously my stuff's starting to do better in the UK.
Yeah.
There are people starting to follow the kind of ethic, I do a lot of prep. That's my big thing in magic. It's like I will work 8 hours, 10 hours a week to do magic. And when I first started talking about this, everyone just went, "Oh, that guy's an idiot."
Yeah.
But now that's catching on in the UK. So people, if you go and see the show Impossible, they close the show with my chocolate bar trick, which is they do it with a bill, but it's actually in the chocolate.
The bill is inside the chocolate bar.
Yeah, so it's actually in the chocolate
bar. Sealed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I do it with a card, but you can do it with anything, really. Faye Presto does it. She loves it. So lots of quality magicians are like that, doing my stuff. So, and my stuff's becoming more regular on TV. So, like, this year on Britain's Got Talent, the contestant, Richard Jones, did a version of my hot can trick where the can heats up and it pours out and it's tea.
It's boiling hot.
And it's boiling hot. And the year before, Jamie Raven did my ice production, and he did a version of my too hot to handle concept with the judges. So it's crazy seeing that there is a shift in the way magic's going now in the UK of that style. People are starting to realise that you can do prep. And I just find it mad that there's people walking around gigs with ice and cans and lollipops because they know that's the magic that's going to stand them up. And I think in the UK especially, the magic scene on telly is massive. There's magic on TV all the time.
So I thought, so much magic over in the UK as opposed to the US. We don't have nearly as much.
No, but it has its own problems. It's amazing having guys like Dynamo and Troy and Ben Hamlin on television. It's great. But the problem is the magic's so good on television that if you're a regular magician and you go to a table with a pack of cards, you're suddenly like, yeah, put a phone in a bottle, walk on water, make money appear from the sky.
They expect that because they've seen that on TV, and so they think, okay, well, I think it's the same thing like when David Copperfield is so popular here in the U.S.
Yeah.
It's like, you obviously can't make the Statue of Liberty disappear here in the restaurant or anything, but, you know, what can you do? That's kind of like I saw on the show last night.
It's an expectation.
Yes.
And I like to think the magic I'm doing lives up to that. I guess that it's TV magic, but in the real world.
Right.
That's what I like to feel like I'm doing. And there's other guys now like Steve Rowe and John Morton. They're kind of following that path of putting lots of effort into magic and getting those TV reactions. And I'm noticing there's more of a movement towards quality magic that can look like television but does work as well. Doesn't always reset, but I think that's becoming a thing that you're willing to do the hard work to get the maximum effect.
Right. Well, I think that you've hit on something there, Karen, that's a little bit interesting. I was thinking about mentalists whenever that we would do a pre-show and try to get something because it seems so much more powerful during the show because you're not creating a stooge, but you're having something that's done before the show and whatever. And similarly, what you're talking about there, I guess, that people have kind of of an idea before the show of what they can do, you know. Interesting. I was also thinking about Bizarro here in the U.S. I knew him when he was in high school back in Dallas, you know, many years ago, and that he had a very bizarre. You know Bizarro?
Yeah, of course, big fan.
I thought so. Yeah. I mean, you're very similar. I can see some some things there. Both very creative, and wear a hat.
It's all about the hat.
It's all about the hat.
It's all about that.
Again, Bizarro is a very good friend, and I had seen him develop. And when he was doing the stuff to begin with, and I remember in our club meetings in Dallas, and thinking this is just really weird. You know, but it didn't ever stop him. It's like, I'm my own person.
Yeah.
And he continued and had a vision and an idea and has developed that into a success story, you know.
I think as a magician, you have to. I mean, I remember when I was first starting out, I worked at a magic bar in Bristol for a few years. And it would always be the guy that owned it, Mark Bennett, would always be like, who are you? What character are you? And then Matthew Wright would come and visit and he'd talk about characters. And I found it very confusing because they'd be like, who are you? What are you? Are you a superhero? And I come to the realization that I'm actually not a character. I'm just me. And as soon as I realized that I was just me, I was Kieran, I'm the guy in the hat, the regurgitator, the magician, the mad guy, I'm just all those things all the time, family man, you know, I'm all of those things.
Sure.
I'm not
You're
one,
not separating
I'm not
one.
Separating.
Uh-huh.
And when I perform, I'm maybe a more exaggerated version of myself, but I'm still true to who I am.
Sure.
And I dress how I want, and I do that. And I think as soon as I realized that, people would come up to me and go, who are you? Like, I don't get you. Are you carrying with a hat? Who are you? And I'm like, I'm just carrying. And then they just, I watched Matthew Garrett the first time I tried to explain it to him, get more and more frustrated. But who are you? I'm like, I'm just Kieran. He went, but who's that? It's just me. And what does that mean? I went, you're struggling with something now that I struggled years with.
Sure, yeah. And you're comfortable now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just me. I don't worry about things. I mean, obviously standing on that stage yesterday was the most craziest thing in my life. I don't think, even when I lectured at the Magic Circle, or performed on big stages. I've never felt the nerves that I felt yesterday.
Explain to people who may not be familiar with what you were doing in yesterday as far as what you're performing for the Factors group.
I was playing to, yeah, so like Gene Anderson's there, they've got Sean Farquhar, it's just...
Yeah, Paul Gertner and Gene Anderson and everybody's out there.
And it's just madness. Like, it's like... and obviously you've got all the Japanese magicians. I can't remember his name now. It escapes me.
Shudo Gawa.
Yeah, not Shudo Gawa, but he was there as well. Danny Ortiz is there. You know, it's just like absolutely mental when you're up there. And I think when you're thinking, you know, when you stand up there, they're the friendliest audience. They want you to succeed.
Yeah.
They don't want you to fail. They want you to do well.
Of course.
And it isn't about fooling them. It's just about entertaining them. But I tell you what. My hands were shaking. And I was like, it's okay. It's going to be fine.
Yeah.
And the response afterwards was really nice. Everyone was really friendly. Mm-hmm. But I think the thing I've enjoyed most about the convention so far is just the rooms. Going into the room, and they've got wine and cheese in the Italian room, and they've got stuff going on in an American room.
Yeah.
And just chatting to people and just having a beer and just... talking magic and life, it's great.
And whatever it is, it's important. And a lot of times there may not be a deck of cards that's broken out for a long time. No. You're just telling jokes, talk about the family, and talk about other stuff. You know,
it's great. I really like it.
Yeah.
And you know, obviously, you know, being from England, coming here is a big deal, because obviously one of my things I always wanted to do was come to 4Fs. Mm-hmm. And you know, obviously, you think, how am I going to get here? And you eventually. Getting an invite from Dara Rose was a big, big deal. And Matthew Garrett asked me as well. So, you know, it's a huge honor to be here.
Now, in working in the UK, I understand that restaurants really have not been a great venue for magicians until just recently. And it's still not all that great, but there are more magicians working in pubs or what?
Yeah, I mean, where I'm from, I live, Bristol, we have a big magic scene. So we have a magic bar.
Yeah, I've been to that place. The Shadow, or what's it called? The Mystery Cafe or Mystery... So, Bristol, or is it Bath? I'm thinking. No, it's Bristol.
Bath has a magic bar as well.
Yeah. What's it called?
Slights.
Yeah.
And the one in Bristol is called Illusions, but they've also got Smoke and Mirrors.
Smoke and Mirrors. That's what I'm thinking.
That's the one I'm thinking of. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Smoke and Mirrors. And they're a really good place for a magician. And I also have a residency within the same area, which I've had for about 8 years now. I think having a residency is quite. Hard work, but they're quite good. They don't pay well. I mean, you get a small fee, but what they do is they help generate more business.
It's the same thing in the U.S. Yeah. I mean, a lot of times the people are working restaurants here with the expectation, not that I'm making any kind of money, because typically in the U.S., at least from what my experience has been or seen, about anywhere from $25 to $50 per hour that you're going to be getting, and then whatever tips they're going to be in on top of that. So it's certainly not money that you're working for so much as it is A, experience, and B, contacts.
Indeed. I mean, I wrote some of my best work working in the restaurants. Mm-hmm. Like, I wrote all my stuff with the can and my stuff with the ice, all working in the restaurant stuff, because I had access to the freezer. The problem is, once I started getting the gigs, I had to start figuring out how to make it possible to do those in the real world. So then I started developing it through having to. But working in a restaurant is just really great. And obviously, it's very different in England in terms of tips.
I was about to say, they don't... No. Have a tipping convention there that's not...
No. Mm-hmm. In London, if you work in the London scene...
In posh
places. You can get really good tips. I did a gig for my friend Sap, who was one of the first close-up magicians, believe it or not, in London with Faye Presto. Mm. And I worked in his restaurant at New Year's Eve, and I was getting crazy tips every table. But these were people with lots of money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the young people with lots of money.
That's because probably they've traveled a lot internationally, and they know about tipping.
Yeah.
I think most people who just live in England and have never really traveled outside... are not used to that.
No. In the magic bar, you can get tips because they have a tip jar. But traditionally, working in the restaurants, it's pretty rare. It does happen.
Yeah.
But it's pretty rare.
And when you do, what do they get? Is it £5? Or
£5. Yeah. So, sometimes you get 20. I once in my lifetime, I had a £100 tip
Were you surprised?
Yeah, I was.
I mean, was it a particular trick that you did? Do you feel like you worked for it, or was it a surprise?
I just think they were just the good crowds, and they just loved it, and they were just having a nice time, and they all decided just to throw money in. Like,
you never know what kind of an audience you're going to be having. I've gotten a $100 tip a few times, but the one time I was most surprised, it was kind of an afterthought. There was just an older gentleman, and it looked like he was there with his grandson or something, and I'd already done these other tables, and I normally want to work for a table of four or more, and I thought, well, I got some time, and they're just by themselves, so I went over and did something, and I did about 5 minutes, maybe 4 minutes or so. I didn't spend a lot of time there necessarily with them, and the guy gave me a $100 tip, and I thought, wow, you know, what did I do differently at this table than others? I mean, I had the same energy and everything, but it was surprising. You just never know.
You don't, and I guess you never know who you're performing for either.
That's true.
And you know, you don't know. I think I heard a story about a guy that got some petrol at a subway station, and he had some cards, and a lady saw him.
Yeah.
And he did some magic for her. She took his card, and it turned out that she was like third cousin to royalty. Ended up getting him for the Queen's garden party, and
wow,
that was it. You know, so you don't know who you're going to meet where you are. I mean, as a magician, one of the things I always do is I've always got my magic with me, because you're walking advertisement. So, you know, right, when you give out your business cards and stuff, you're basically just giving out your stuff and getting more work, which is,
right,
you know, what it's all about, really, isn't it?
Right. Now, everything that you do is mainly close-up, or do you do any, when corporations would hire you over there, I assume that you do weddings and things like that,
yeah,
but also do you do stand-up type
so,
of?
So I do close-up is my main thing.
Yeah.
I'm not, stage magic has never really been my strongest set.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a stage show, which is a regurgitation act.
Okay, you want to talk about this?
Yeah, so I basically come out and I do my comedy regurgitation act, which is all real. And I do stuff talking about airport security and stuff like that. So I have a whole thing about traveling through the airport. And
you are your own
objects.
Suitcase.
Yeah, and then I get them to put rubber gloves on and check me out and scan me. And I do this whole thing about no liquids and drink the liquids. It's very bizarre and mad. But one of the things that I've worked on the hardest is humanizing that skill.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you take a disgusting skill like regurgitation and make it funny and friendly?
Right. That's so, a good point, particularly if you're going to be like an after-dinner performer.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, it's mad to think that... I will say this. I do my magic on stage, and it goes down well. My close-up magic is where I'm best with magic.
Yeah.
And that go well. But regurgitation, when I do my show, I get old ladies coming in to hug me afterwards.
Really?
Yeah.
They were trying to squeeze something out of you?
No, they just love it. Or like, you know, I'm a married man, but...
Yeah.
For some weird reason, when I've done a regurgitation, I've had women go, are you single? And I don't answer, I don't get that from magic.
Huh. Well, that's interesting.
I don't know if they go, he's a bit weird, or like, or if it's because they're laughing so much. Because that's the one thing I work on with that act, is I come out and straight away get them laughing without saying anything.
Right.
And I focus on the comedy. And then when I do the skill, they're going, they are doing the hands, but they're always laughing.
Right.
And I think when I do the airport security thing, where I talk about how I always get my shoes taken off and they check me out, everyone can relate to that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, most people don't down 2 liters of water and then regurgitate it back into a swimming pool. But they can relate to the idea of, like, you buy the water from the airport, then they say you have to chuck it away. And you spent £4 on it and you haven't drank it all, they say drink it or lose it. So people can respond to that. So mm-hmm. I think I think if they like you,
yeah,
and they connect with you,
yeah,
and they get that this is something that happens to them, and they're probably going, well, I don't do the weird stuff, but I can connect to that. They made me take my shoes off. Why? You know? So I think obviously airport security is like, they do a great job, and it is needed. You know?
Yep. Serious.
Mm-hmm. It is a serious issue, but it also, you can feel sometimes like, I'm just a normal person. So, you know. And I will say this. I think I've been traveling since I was 18. I've never been not selected randomly.
You've never been not selected, so you're always selected.
Always.
Really? Why do you think that is? You just have a strange look about you?
My wife reckons it's because I probably look nervous or something, but I don't know. I always go through the scanning machine, and that's how I wrote my work, because I always get my shoes tested, they swipe my bag, they swipe my phone.
Mm-hmm.
It always takes me 20 minutes to go through it. Sometimes I go and sit in a room, and I've spoken to the police, and they ask me all these questions, and I just made it into a joke now.
Mm-hmm.
So when I have... when I walk through and they got the rubber gloves and they sometimes look in my mouth, all this inspired the act, really.
Yeah.
So That's why I have the rubber gloves. So I think in some senses, I'm kind of glad it happened because it's the funniest thing I've ever written.
Right.
But it's all based on
come reality. Right. Yeah. Now, whenever they're going up there and they say it looks like it's you're a little bit nervous or something, that has to do just with kind of a physical abnormality or something.
Well, I've got long hair.
Yeah.
You probably noticed that my eye is slightly to the left, so I probably look a bit strange. Mm. And my movement, I have a coordination issue, I'm quite erratically moving, so I'm twitching. So I probably just look a bit funny, and I've got odd shoes on, so I always have red and blue. So I probably have target on me. Not in a bad way, I just... Right. Obviously, you know, I probably look maybe like I party or something.
But it's just kind of fidgety a little bit, you know,
I think so.
Thing.
But I like it because it's, you know, I always have a nice time chatting to them and I ask them questions.
Right.
And I managed to convince one of the guys in Ireland to let me swallow a coin.
Oh, did you?
So I could see where it was on the machine.
And so they actually x-rayed it and watched
it? Yeah, because they put me through the x-ray every time.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So I could see where it was. So.
And then you regurgitated back out.
I did. I probably shouldn't have done that, but it was in Ireland and I think he was laughing and I explained it. Just think I'm some eccentric crazy guy.
Yeah.
Because I what this is the one thing I laugh. I have the one skill where I could could do it, you know.
Well, speaking of that one skill, we were talking earlier and I said something about Stevie Starr, who is a regurgitator as well. You say that yours is a little bit different because they can x-ray you.
Yes. So I mean I don't know if he can be x-rayed or not, but I know he hasn't been x-rayed before. But one of the things I can do is I can be x-rayed. But I think we're very different because I'm, everything I bring back comes wet. When he brings stuff, it comes dry.
And I've also noticed that there are some things he does tricks with that in which he'll give you change, you know, or what order do you want this to come back out?
I can do the same thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. But I do it with buttons.
Okay.
So I do three different color buttons because actually that is a really old regurgitating effect because that goes back way back to the 1700s.
Okay.
And then there was, what's his name? Getting his name, he's amazing. There was a regurgitator in the 1930s, and he was the first person to swallow a live animal, like a live frog or a live fish.
Oh, wow!
And he would swallow a pocket watch, and then he would have people listen to the watch on his stomach and then bring the watch back up. And he was the first person to do the coins in order.
I remember then Ricky Jay's books and Learned Pigs and Fireproof Women, that he researched a lot of these people who were regurgitators and people that would swallow live coals and also would be have water that they would ingest. And I was going to ask you about that also.
Yeah. So, I think when you do wet regurgitation, I use the water to push everything up.
Okay.
So when I swallow the buttons, I can feel where they are. And just through practice, I know where they're going to land. When I'm holding them, and then I use the water to pressure up the one I want.
Mm-hmm.
So like a jet, really.
Yeah.
And I just got the unfortunately I haven't got the world record at the moment. I'm hoping to, but I just got the European record for water spouting, and the record was longest length of water. So I managed to hold the stream. This sounds very disgusting, but I held the stream for 34 seconds.
For 34 seconds?
34 seconds.
For water spouting.
Yeah.
And so how long or how far did it go out? 2 or 3 feet? 4 feet?
Yeah, a couple of feet.
Wow.
It was like it was proper jet up. Like
Proper jet.
Yeah, it was pretty. The crowd was amazing because they came to watch the cheering.
Where did you go and do this?
I did this in Blackpool Magic Convention.
Oh, okay, Blackpool.
But I did it in the Ruskin because I was filming for a TV show about Guinness World Records. So it was all official. But what happened is I've been training for the last couple of months and the previous record was 32 seconds. Now, I'd been nailing 34 seconds. So I was confident I was going to get it. The day before, they say, oh, Guinness made a mistake. Dixon Apong, who held it in Europe, he beat it in China 2 years ago, and they forgot to document it.
Yeah,
and he apparently it was 44 seconds that he did, but they still haven't updated the records officially. But they told us that. But he is a big man. He can drink 6 to 7 liters of water. I can't drink that amount. I
was about to ask you, how much do you have to actually ingest? 4 liters.
Four liters.
And then you ingest 4 liters. I mean, you just down it, just open up your gullet and kind of let it go down?
I have to get it out as quick because it can be quite dangerous. Because one of the things, 2 liters is fine, but as soon as I start moving past that, I start to feel dizzy. It probably, in my show, I would never drink past 1.5.
Mm-hmm.
But for this, I had to drink more than I probably should have. And I managed to get 34. And because I beat his record, which was set in Europe originally, I was able to get the European record because he beat his own record in China. Basically, it doesn't really mean anything. It means I'm second best in the world.
Well,
but
still.
But it sounds good, doesn't it?
European it does. Record holder. Well, when it goes down, then you're holding it in the stomach and then your diaphragm muscles pushing it back out? Or how is that?
Let me show you. So one of the things I love doing is I love magic conventions because I can do my magic, but this is one thing. This hasn't been inside me.
Okay, I'm gonna record this also, so this way I can post this video that will go accompany the podcast here. Then too.
You're
really gonna do this?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, yeah. Well, cool.
If people stop listening, I apologize in advance.
Okay, I'm ready when you are.
So I would normally get you to mix this up, but to keep this fair, I really do not know which way this is gonna go in my mouth. I'll close my mouth.
Okay, he's just put the coins in his mouth. I can look in. Yep.
So the one thing I can do, which I've never seen another regurgitator do, is when I bring it back, I can open my mouth so you can physically see it. Now, my doctor, who I've been working with, he's also a magician. I won't name his name. He said that basically the reason when I open my mouth, I'm actually opening up the back of my lungs. I don't really know the whole thing, but he said it's quite dangerous.
Yeah.
So that's probably why no one ever does it this way, but I've just always done it that way. So the coin's gone down. I'm going to bring it back up. Would you like it heads or tails?
Okay. Wow. Let's say tails.
Okay. So all I have to do is basically inside, and this sounds... You're going to think this is magic. Even I think this is magic, and I know it's not. But basically, because of the side of the coins, I can feel which side they are. I just practiced. And now all I do is pressure up, and I've got coffee in me, so I'll use that to jet it up.
Yep.
And tails.
Oh my gosh.
And I can do, I've been practicing with four coins, so I can swallow four coins and bring them back in heads, tails, older. So you could,
Wow.
Do you want to see one more?
Yes, okay, let's go for one more then.
Okay,
hold on, let me get this ready. Okay, ready?
Okay. Would you like heads or tails?
Let's do heads this time.
Okay, so let's do it slightly differently. So normally what would happen at this point is I would have you wear a rubber glove and I get you to reach up here.
Into your nose, okay.
So you can see there's nothing up there.
I'll trust you on that, okay? I'll look at your nostril.
Just to show you.
That you're, he's now sticking.
He's now sticking
part of his glasses up his nose.
So normally I get a camera up here and I get someone to put their fingers. But let me show you. Sorry, a bit disgusting. did you want heads or tails? I can't remember.
Heads it was.
Well, it was. Oh, I did come with heads.
That's close enough.
Close enough. It's quite hard.
Then. quite disgusting. Okay. Okay.
That doesn't put viewers off.
Shall I get a Kleenex for you? Okay, sir.
So a little bit odd.
That's a little bit odd, yes, I would say. So how did you realize that you first had this, quote, talent, I guess? I've seen Stevie do stuff, but not like this. Oh, my gosh.
So I don't think... So one of my plans is, in the future, I want to have a camera threaded down my nose and into my stomach.
Yeah.
So you can see all the objects, and then I can have it on screen, and then you can see it. I discovered I could do it when I was about 7.
Mm-hmm.
And it was my party trick my brother would make me do for people. I used to say it's because I was choking, I discovered my super. To be honest, I have no clue how I've learned how to do it.
You started sticking beans up your nose one day or something?
No,
I
don't know. Because of my coordination issue...
Mm-hmm.
I've always been hyper aware of my body.
Okay.
So, walking for me and writing and running and jumping, I've always been a very hard. I can't drive because of the issues. So, I've always been very sensitive. I'm aware.
Mm-hmm.
So, I wonder if the trade off is because I'm aware I guess just inside. I can slow my heart rate down as well, for real.
For real, without having to stick the ball into your armpit?
No, I don't have to. My brother loves it because he's a paramedic, so he's had me on the machine.
Did Luke Germain teach you this?
No.
Okay.
No. This is I watched a TV show about a man that was doing free driving, and he was sitting at the bottom, and he talked about lowering his heart rate and pressure, and I was just trying to copy it, basically.
So you're just mentally, just to yourself, just trying to slow down your...
Yeah, and just slow it down. And also, I spent time with a yogi friend of mine, John, and he he can actually lie in a cold bath for like 10 minutes with ice, mm-hmm. but not come out shaking because he can control his thermostat. And he was trying to teach me how to do that.
And still keep his body temperature at a certain level?
There's a guy that can do it for like hours.
Wow.
And he's been trying to get it down to that.
Mm-hmm.
We became friends because of the regurgitation. But I discovered that when I was a kid. And I didn't do much with it. And then I started doing it in my magic about 5-6 years ago. So mm-hmm. I started doing my thing with polos and the coins. And I started doing more stuff like that. And obviously then I was doing that more and more in my close-up magic. And then obviously David Blaine did his What Is Real thing. Mm-hmm. And I knew I could water spout. Because I knew I had that ability.
And you've been doing that since when? Waterspout?
Well, the whole skill, really. It's like, when I used to go swimming with my brother, I would drink water and spit it in his face. But I didn't, I'll be honest with you, I knew I could do it. I didn't do it as an act.
See, I've never known a waterspout, never seen a waterspouter. Just the pictures and what Ricky Jay had talked about in that book and everything, so I didn't know they still even existed.
I just knew I've always been able to do it.
Wow.
So when David did it on TV, I'd already been doing my coins in order thing, my polo, linking polo routine, and the nose stuff. Mm-hmm. I'd already been playing around with stuff like that. I have to be honest, I didn't really think about the water so much as a big thing. Obviously, after seeing him do it, I was like, I can do that. I said to my wife, I can do that. Because I had this really bad habit where I will eat food. It's disgusting. I apologize.
Well, what could be more disgusting?
I will bring back the food and re-chew the meat because I like
it. It's so good, I'm going to have it a second time.
Yes.
Okay.
I know. And my wife tells me off. She says, stop it. So when
I'm surprised you're married.
Yeah, I know. Me too. Me too. And she saw him and she went, you can do that. I went, I know I can do that. And so it all became a thing. And my friends, all my friends knew I was regurgitating. They're like, oh, that's amazing. And my friend was like, yeah, Kieran can do that. Mm-hmm. So I made a video. Did it. I think there's a video of me just being silly in a onesie.
What kind of stuff do you do in your act that is different? I mean, Stevie Starr does billiard balls and coins and all that glass.
It's so difficult to be original with this skill.
I would think it would be easy to be original because there are not that many people who do it.
No, so because it's...
There are only so many things you can swallow? Or?
Yeah, I mean, one thing I do is I don't use any trickery.
Okay.
So there's no trickery.
That looked real to me. I mean, I don't want you to do it again.
No,
I mean,
but there's no trickery.
Okay.
So that's the rule.
Yeah.
For me, that no trickery, no sleight of hand, no loads, just mm-hmm. pure skill.
Yeah.
Originally, I was loading things in my mouth and trying things, but I wanted. Maybe I'm cutting myself short, but I guess the thing that the most original thing I have in the act is probably the presentation. So when I do the water, obviously I'm not putting out a fire. I do a thing where I place a tap in my mouth and turn the tap on and the water comes out. Instead of using a billiard ball, when I showed my wife the billiard ball, she went mental at me. She was not happy.
Why was that? She thought you were going to die, just choke to death?
Yeah, well, I was joking. I put it in my mouth. She was like, no. And I brought it back and she just like went mental.
That's it.
Yeah, so I do it with bread. So I get a bread roll.
Yeah,
and I suck the bread roll down, and I do a comedy thing about choking. And that way, if it was to go terribly wrong, I can get a fork down and get it out. Where with a billiard ball, if you lose it, you're dead.
A fork down there. So you actually stick silverware down your throat.
If I had to. I've never had a problem where I couldn't get anything big back.
What about the sword swallowing? Have you ever
I wouldn't do sword swallowing.
Okay.
Because I would be worried that it would cause damage down there, and I'd lose my other skill.
Huh.
So
okay.
I wouldn't risk losing the ability, but mainly the most original thing in the act I have at the moment is probably the nose and the linking polo routine I do and the heads or tails is
explain the linking polo. Well, we call it lifesavers over here that you showed yesterday,
so I can have them signed, but I swallow two
look like lifesavers, white.
Mm-hmm. I swallow them, I show my mouth empty, and then I can bring them back linked.
They're not linked going in, they're separate, and you come back out
linked.
Yeah,
they're just basically practicing fretting and pressure. It's, again, very sad sitting there trying to do it. So
you have no life.
No,
you just
life.
Have no life.
So there's a couple of original things, and then obviously the water spouting has been around since the 17th century.
Uh-huh.
There was a guy that used to, he would drink water, then he would bring back red wine.
That's different.
And I think he would...
have food coloring.
But there is a guy in India, and you won't find this online anywhere. It's obscure, and they can actually drink three colors and bring back the colors separately.
I don't know how you do that. Cows have more than one stomach, yeah. But humans have one. I don't get it.
Well, I was experimenting, and I was able. I at the moment I can do the three different colors, but I wasn't satisfied. I've been working three different colors called for.
Mm-hmm.
So my colors I'm using red, blue, and clear.
Yes.
So, but now I'm working on, if you want the blue, I can bring back the blue. If you want the red, I can bring back the red. And clear. Okay. But I don't want to use trickery, so I'm having my mouth examined and stuff.
Right.
But it's proving quite hard work. It's not quite working.
Yeah.
You know? I'm not going to go into the whole, because obviously there is a secret but to it. But it'd be hard to explain anyway.
No, that's fine.
It's not like a magic secret, but there's, you have to be clever, because obviously... It's just this is like the weirdest conversation I've ever had. I had a guy come up to me and ask me, I'll pay you money if you can teach me. And I'm like thinking, I might not even be able to teach you.
No.
I think this is.
You either have it or you don't.
Yeah. And I think if you haven't figured it out by now, I think David Blaine's probably the one exception to the rule, because I think he's very aware of his body.
Mm-hmm.
And he's incredible. I mean, I admire him so much. He's incredible.
Yeah.
And I think when he probably learned it was easy for him, because I think he's aware of himself physically.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's probably the one exception to the rule, maybe.
Right. Well, he doesn't do regurgitation, though.
No, well, he does the water.
Water spout, yeah. So I've seen him do that on TV.
But not the regurgitation. I mean, again, it's just practice.
But it wasn't a whole lot, like what you do.
No, well, it's still amazing.
More than I could do. Yeah. You're right.
But, and who knows what control he has now. That was a couple of years ago.
Now, is that part of your regular magic show? In other words, do you do magic first and then close with that? Because you can't go back to magic after you've done that, I assume. Or do you just do that only?
I mix in the magic and the regurgitation.
Mm-hmm.
So I always carry a rubber glove with me. So I know people are probably thinking, this guy walks around and does regurgitation and a close-up? No one's going to like that.
Yeah, at your dinner table. It's a great restaurant thing.
I tell you what, if they like you
and
they're invested and you get a good feeling for the crowd, I've had rich, very extremely rich old ladies at the 80s put the rubber glove on and laughing.
Interesting.
My clientele are that kind of older. I get on really well with older people, mm-hmm. so I have a lot of
older
clients.
That's why you get along well with me.
Yeah. But I have a lot of, I do a lot of 70 and 80 year birthday parties.
Mm.
And when I do it, they go, "Oh, you're going to do the regurgitation?" And they're like, "What's that?"
At a birthday party.
Well, but they like it because it's not treating them like they want to see something outrageous.
Right. So they know that you have that ability before you come in.
Well, the two things they always ask me for, they're like, "Can you do the coins? And can you do your metal bending routine?"
Mm-hmm.
You will do the forks. Or they'll ask me to do the chocolate bar. But they normally have a list. Sometimes people, they bring their polos, like, "Can you do it with my polos?"
Mm-hmm.
So I did get booked for it.
Mm-hmm.
I have a friend called Zap who books me for a lady in Italy. And the reason she hires me, because I can do all the weird stuff. And that's a really good gig.
And there's nobody in Italy who can do this.
Well, I've researched that there's less than, I only known of 9 so far. And
in the world?
So far. I'm sure that, I always say 9 known. Mm-hmm. There are people who said to me, "I can waltz about this, show me a dribble of water." Waltz about for me has to be proper control. I guess I'm a snob when it comes to...
Yeah. Oh, that's not... Poo-poo, show. That's not...
there's people that can... But I guess the thing is, because I got so used to seeing it, I've had some people say, "Oh, yeah, I can do it," and they show me something, and I go, "Yeah, you didn't swallow that," and they're like, "Oh, no, I did." I went, "No, it came up too quickly." Like, I'm watching it, because I'm not an expert, but
Well, does yours go all the way down your stomach? Do you hold it in your throat?
The problem, if I hold it in my throat, I can't speak properly.
Uh-huh.
It cuts off my airway. It's also mm-hmm. very dangerous, because if I lost control, it can go down the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
It has happened. I've lost coins and stuff down there before.
So you have coins in your body now?
I don't know.
You got spares change? I do somewhere. You have to go look at it.
Yeah. Maybe that's why I get randomly selected. Self an alarm. But no, I'd always, when I do it now, I just take it down. It's easier, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. It's easier just to take it down than hold it. Because I can relax then.
Yeah. Until later. Now, how long can you keep it down?
Coins, not as long as I would like.
I mean, 15 minutes, an hour,
about 15
2 minutes. Okay.
Yeah. Any longer that it starts to travel down.
I would think it'd go through the intestines.
Okay. Yeah, it does. Yeah. So,
have you talked to doctors about this to kind of, or just time it, or how do you know?
I just practice.
You start to feel it actually go into the colon and say, oh, that's too far, I got to go back up.
I've done it on stage where I've done the buttons, and I haven't been able to get the last button back up.
Oops. You're going to have to, you know, follow me to the bathroom. We'll finish this show later.
How I was working on the nose fingers, I accidentally couldn't get it up, and I pressurized it.
Yeah.
And it went the wrong way.
It came up through your sinus.
It was the most painful thing of my life.
Oh, my gosh. Well, now that passageway has gotten open, I guess now it's a little easier.
Yeah. Well, but it's not. I spoke to a doctor about it, and they said recently at a gig, just because, you know, obviously, just chatting at an Indian wedding. I said, oh, that's quite common.
Well, maybe she knows more than nine people who could do it, I guess.
Yeah, well, not the regurgitation.
Oh, I'm sorry, okay.
She said the regurgitation was very uncommon, and I was explaining how I can feel everything in my neck.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't feel my stomach in my stomach, I feel it in my neck, so I can feel the food or the objects down there. And she was saying, that's insane. And when I said about the nose thing, she went, oh, yeah, I've had loads of people do that by accident. So to her, she said, oh, that's quite common. She said, the water thing, very rare, but the nose thing, a lot more common.
I guess, yeah.
So for her, she's seen it a lot.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Wow, what a wide variety of experiences that you've certainly had. So what is your long-term goal? What do you want to do? Where do you want to be? What's your 5, 10, 20-year goal?
I've never had a goal, really.
Day-to-day kind of guy.
Just a day-to-day. I think I've got a baby on the way in August.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And I'm looking forward to being a dad.
Yeah. First time?
First time, yeah. And I run a group on the internet, which is a small group called Chaotic. If you want to join, you can find me. I'm Kieran Lefevre on Facebook. Because I took my wife's name when I got married, because her name's been in the family since the 15th century.
Wow. Lefevre. France.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which I didn't realize how much confusing it was going to cause. So when people look for me, they can't find me. They see Kieran Lefevre. I've even had someone contact me and say, oh, you look like Kieran Johnson.
<That's funny.
laughs> I get that all the time. They go, I don't like him very much. And they go, oh, why? I heard he's really nice. I went, it's lies. And then I tell them, and they go, really?
Yeah.
So I run a few groups and lecturing and traveling. I think the thing is, I'm doing a lot of consulting as well, where I'm working for individual people on stuff. Mm-hmm. And
for some magicians?
Yeah, and I've had a lot of Magic on Britain's Got Talent, as I said, like this year and last year, which is great for me. Because
you've not been on there, but you have consulted.
Not consulted. I guess I published and they liked my tricks and they used them. They asked for, Richard asked for permission, which was nice. And I gave him as much guidance, but you know, he did it all. He's a very talented man.
Richard who?
Richard Jones.
Jones, okay.
Hopefully he'll win. I'm hoping he'll get through to the semifinals.
I'm not keeping up with it.
No, so he just, he nailed his audition.
Mm-hmm.
Nailed it. He was stunning.
What did he do?
He did The Phantom Artist by Animan, obviously Oz Perlman updated it.
Oh, Oz Perlman, yeah, here in the States, yeah.
Yeah, and then he, I think he used swim pads. And then he had a prediction, and it was wrong. And he said today, what was your thing? And you're thinking, he goes, a drink, what was it? He goes, orange juice. He goes, no, it's tea. And obviously then he touches David, saps him with electric touch.
Yeah.
And then he uses one of the smoke devices to heat the can up. I thought it was really clever using the smoke for it.
See the smoke, and obviously, because
And then it's hot.
Yeah, boiling hot.
Mm-hmm. The reason I don't use the smoke thing is because I sleeve, so it doesn't, I would have, you know, it doesn't suit me.
Can't have a tube up there. Yeah.
I can't. So, yeah. Well, but I was thinking to myself, like, that's better. That's good. Damn him.
Yeah.
And he's obviously a good looking guy as well.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I hope he does really well.
Right. Yeah. Maybe so. And then you can kind of ride his coattails and kind of be a consultant for him as
maybe.
He's successful.
We'll see. Like, I'm just happy to help.
One thing at a time.
One thing at a time.
That's right.
I just worked on a show in Ireland for a TV show. Which comes out hopefully in June. We don't know a date yet. Which is called The Irish Magician for Irish TV. So I think you guys just got that in America on cable, on Sky. So it's just a new channel over here. So that's going to come out in June. And that's going to be...
And what's it called again?
The Irish Magician.
Just The Irish Magician. Okay.
It's an interesting name. I think they wanted to make it all about Ireland, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole show is all about traveling around Ireland. And we did it on a shoestring budget.
Yeah.
There's no camera trickery. Mm-hmm. At any point, there's no stooges and barely any pre-show or anything like that. Like everything, one of the things we tried to do was everything, Rod had to be able to do it if he was asked at a gig.
Yeah.
So he wasn't ever stuck.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, it's quite hard to make that type of stuff look as glamorous. So, but if you, you know, a lot of magicians say I want to see a real magic show. This is real commercial stuff, and he does a great job. So, and I'm quite proud of that. And I'm having my first assistant director credits because obviously I helped
that's
filming
great.
And directing and stuff.
Yeah. Once you get that, yeah, you can.
If it sucks, I'm just going to go, I didn't have anything to
do it. That wasn't Lefevre, that was Johnson.
Yeah, that was the other guy. But, you know, considering we did it on, we did it for nothing, really.
Mm-hmm.
So everything was, like, begged, borrowed, and stolen.
Right.
And Rod did a fantastic job, but I thought I'd plug that.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, today, as we start to wrap up over here, let me just ask you, then, the name of my podcast is called The Magic Word. So what is your magic word? What is your philosophy of life, or what is important to you?
I think my philosophy of life is that helping people. If you see someone struggling with a bag, help them. Or, you know, just a smile can make a day. So I think, for me, magic, it comes in the simplest form of just people, really.
Mm-hmm. Could be a good word, good deed, whatever, just help.
Yeah, and I think that's important. It's not sometimes, you know, just going out your way to help someone or just be polite, for me, it's very important, you know.
That's awfully important. Yeah, you make more friends that way, certainly, as well.
So,
well, good. Thank you very much. I appreciate your time being on the Magic Word Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
That was Kieran Johnson, or Kieran Lefevre.
Or Kieran the Mighty.
Or Kieran the Mighty, yeah. That's right. And your website would be?
Kieran the Mighty. It's Mighty Magic Productions, I think. And my working website is kieranthemighty.co.uk.
.co.uk.
Yeah.
Very good. There's Kieran for the Magic Word Podcast. Wow. Watch the video. This is Scotty out. Whew, yeah. Oh, more. My, what can I say after that? Well, it was a little bit different kind of a guest than what I've had in the past. And I hope you guys are still with me here towards the bitter end. I don't know how bitter that actually could be. But if you watch the video, you might understand exactly what I'm talking about. Perhaps you may not want to. Actually, you've got a visual of that perhaps just from listening to this. So, wow, that was something different. And I want to thank you very much, Kieran. And it could be that he might be on a lecture tour throughout the U.S. next year. He's going to be 21, I believe, in November of 2017. So he should be old enough in order to rent a car and maybe able to put him on a lecture tour. Now, he's not going to be teaching the regurgitation. I don't think he'll even be doing that, but he will have a lot of really interesting things. He'll be talking about cards and coins and other kinds of magic at that time. So, again, Kieran, thank you very much for being a guest here on The Magic Word. So now it's our time to go to the trick reviews of the week. This week we're going to be reviewing 4 At the Table lectures that are by Murphy's Magic Supplies, and they are all different. We have one which is all coins, one which is pretty much all cards, and another one that has a variety of a lot of stuff, including things with your iPhone, as well as cards and coins and other kinds of items. I'll also say that 2 out of the 3 have tattoos and hats and beards, but the third one doesn't. So it proves that you don't have to have arm tattoos up your sleeve and a long beard and wear a hat in order to accomplish wonderful magic. All these guys have some great stuff. We're going to be talking first about Chris Ramsey at the table, and then we'll be talking about Brandon Wolf at the table, and then Simon Black. First, let's talk about Chris Ramsey. This At the Table experience, or lecture, with Chris Ramsey runs a little shy of 2.5 hours and is packed with just a whole lot of stuff. He starts off they're all excellent tricks, but this first one has a really good idea that has to do with where the two people would select a card. Basically, they just look at the cards. He fans the cards out. They take a look at it, and then they decide, think of any card. They don't pick a card. They just think of one. Then you turn to the other person, fan it out, and they think of a card. Essentially, you are able to reveal their cards. A really nice method, something that will involve a little bit of a setup and some a little bit of slights involved then as well. And I think it's within the expertise of any intermediate card worker for sure. It also talks about then a good idea with the iPhone, something that can be done by anyone. This is for the beginner, but is not necessarily just a throwaway. It's kind of a cool little idea that can be done all the time. Again, there are a lot of things that he talks about in his lecture that are ideas of his or variations on some other people's things. For an example, a while back I talked about Blaze by the French twins, and there was an effect in which that a sign card ends up being singed or burned, and he has a good presentation for using that sign card. So if you had learned that, or if you have that trick, here's another variation that you can do with that. If not, then he teaches you how to prepare the card and how to do a trick with that, calling the voodoo card. He also has some good work on Dan and Dave's duck sandwich that is pretty knacky. It's something that, again, would require some skills. There, again, is a variety. There's something in here for beginners, to intermediate, to expert card handlers. So it's just some really good stuff. Also, a nice idea, again, using an iPhone with an idea where you use the card to phone. And this is kind of a stand-up routine, if you will. Could be a stage idea. Could be something done at a bar, stand-up for a small group or something that he calls dipnosis, in which that basically a corner is torn off a card, it ends up in the card, in the phone, and they're holding it. They take the card out, reach in their pocket, and there is the torn corner that matches, which you just had. There, again, other ideas, card to mouth. He also talks about equivoque, giving you some good ideas and making sure that you're not repeating the same thing over and over. There are some other ideas that he discusses that are some call-ins from people who will text in some messages, and they kind of interact a little bit with that then as well. And the last one he finishes up with is spread and butter. So again, there he has a time machine trick variation of someone else's effect that is very good. Again, an enjoyable time, a lot of variety that he has in this. Again, going from beginner to skilled, and a good one I'd recommend over here. Again, that's At the Table with Chris Ramsey. The next At the Table experience lecture is with Brandon Wolf. This particular lecture is all about coins. In fact, that from the very beginning that Brandon talks about having done away with his cards a long time ago, has no card work whatsoever that he does, and everything is all purely coins. So he talks mainly also about the balance palm, which is quite beautiful, and with just a minimal amount of work, I think that you'll be able to become an expert at this. It is a very nice, very deceptive type of move, again called a balance palm. He explains that straight up at the beginning, and then pretty much again throughout the rest of the lecture, he gives various ideas on how that you can continue to show this, and how you can incorporate this into other routines, where there's going to be a color change or a coin change. He talks about lapping and how that you can also lap without having a table so that you can do it standing up. There are several good ideas that he discusses, his philosophy, again having to do with coins. He talks about a kind of a coins across or three fly type of thing in which he uses three coins or four coins. Talks about a beautiful click pass, and that is, to my way of thinking, I'm not a coin guy, but I was not familiar with this particular one. He also talks about some book recommendations. Obviously, J.B. Bobo, the Modern Coin Magic, would be the one, the Bible he talks about, but there are other books then as well. So, again, there are some great audience questions that come in to play here that he answers and gives a little bit of his philosophy. A very nice fella and very slow and methodical in his explanations, and the way that Gregory Wilson is working with him as far as being the presenter or the narrator, I should say, or just kind of the person who's asking the questions, that he is obviously asking some good questions and pulling some things out of Brandon that we can all learn. So it is, again, if you're a coin guy and you want to learn some new routines, this at-the-table experience with Brandon Wolf is the way to go. A lot of really good stuff here. Again, all coins, and for the most part, I would say probably 75% using the balance palm. This lecture runs just about 2 hours, and again, is called At the Table with Brandon Wolf. The final At the Table experience that is being reviewed here is with Simon Black, and this is the longest of the three that runs well over 3 hours, but he has a lot to say, and he says it very fast. I thought I was the only guy who talked this fast, but he's from Chicago, and I'm originally from Illinois myself, and so perhaps it's just the way we speak. But he certainly does talk fast. I will say this also. He's only 20 years old, and he has mad skills. The guy is just crazy good, and the reason being is that he has practiced for 14 hours a day over the last 5 years, I guess, and has studied with some of the best up in the Chicago area, like Simon Aronson. And a lot of this, of course, is reflected in his performance. I will say that for me, this is all card work, by the way, whereas, again, the previous one that we just had then that was with Brandon Wolf, of course, is all coins. This is all cards. And again, because he has such good skills, he does share a lot of ideas in here, but some of them, I think, are things that I might just watch. I mean, it's not a lot of finger flinging that he's teaching. Certainly, he can do all of that as well. But some of the things that he is teaching are things that are just incredible and worth watching. And you can learn a few things that you might put into your act then as well. Certainly, the things he talks about speaks years beyond his age, and his maturity level is very high regarding his level of understanding and magic and everything. And this is, again, hosted by Gregory Wilson, who asks a lot of good questions, and there are a lot of people who call in with Skype calls and some other people who have typed in some questions. Again, At the Table experience is something that when you subscribe to this, that you get two lectures a month for $9.95, and when the lecture is live, that you can watch it live, and you can also submit questions. You can call in with your Skype questions as well, and beyond this. Then later, of course, you can download that. So this is the download that I was watching. I did not get to see it live, but again, it was very good. A lot of really interesting questions and things that he talked about that were touches on the classic force. He goes into a little bit of some routines that he does using a memorized deck. A lot of the last hour or within the last hour, he talks a lot about his memorized deck. I say his, actually, using mnemonica of Juan Tamariz, but he has been influenced by, again, a lot of the great people. But some of the things I like and probably might use, there was a great bluff pass, I believe it was Lamage Whipple stuff. I can't pronounce that, but he has a good work on the bluff pass there as well. Some good work on the triumph that I like the triumph move, and he has some philosophy that even though you may not use the triumph moves that he teaches, he just has some good thinking on anyone who would do a triumph routine. I don't want to go into too much detail about that. You'll have to take a look at the video on there in order to get the work on there. But again, he has a lot of really good routines and a lot of stuff that I think that you will do and other things that you might just admire. But it's some stuff that you can go back and listen to and watch from time to time because there is so much in here. And again, he talks so fast, as I do, that you may have to go back. And when you see it a second time, then you'll say, oh, I forgot that, because there's so much material packed into this. I say packed into it. Goodness, again, well over 3 hours. So there's a lot of stuff that's in this. And so, again, that's At the Table experience with Simon Black. All of these At the Table experiences are available in the Magic Store here on themagicwordpodcast.com, and you can also subscribe to At the Table experience, so this way that once, rather twice a month, that you can get these great lectures, and they could be 2, 3, 4 hours. It depends on how long that they go and what all they have to talk about, but they have some of the top magicians who actually sit down at the table, and great camera work and good video, and they have no people really in the audience like the Penguin lectures. This is something that is done for the camera, so you don't get the reaction of people sitting in the audience or anything like that. There are a few people around, again, people who will be hosting the lecture, and they may differ from time to time, but it is a great experience, highly recommended that you take a look at the table. If you want to just get a sampling of that, again, go to themagicwordpodcast.com and go to the Magic Store, and you can download one of the previous lectures, and they do this, again, a couple times a month, and for only $9.95 a month that you can subscribe and watch it live and participate, and plus you get the download as well to watch it at your convenience and at your leisure. And now a reminder to enter the contest to win a free book from H&R Magic Books. They have recently published a book called Framework by Tom Frame that has been getting a lot of good reviews if you read Magic Magazine and some other places where it has been reviewed. And we have two of those books that are offered, and the contest started last week. We will continue the contest through this week and pull the names before the next week's podcast is released. So if you haven't had a chance, go to themagicwordpodcast.com and enter the contest there to win a book. And let me also again remind you that by signing up for the contest that your email address will be shared with H&R Magic Books, so this way they can add you to their newsletter and let you know about upcoming products and some of their sales, etc. And also that the domestic shipping is free, but if you are outside of the U.S., then we will get in touch with you and let you know what the shipping is going to be, and you will have to assist with that overseas or foreign shipping. So again, foreign shipping is not included, but domestic shipping is. And that domestic shipping is offset by some of the funds that have been donated to the Magic Word through the Friends of the Magic Word. And you can see about how that you can join the Friends by going to themagicwordpodcast.com. And while you're signing up for the registering, I should say, for the contest, you can also go over and click on the information to find out how that you can help support us and help by being a friend of the Magic Word. And I would also say that if you have not had a chance to like us on Facebook, we are nearing 1,000 all the time. I don't know why, but it seems that we have about as many likes as we have unlikes, so we're kind of getting at about net even. We've had this going on here for about a month or two. It seems like we've been hung like at about 971 or something like that, I believe. So we go up and then we go back down. So I don't know what that's all about. But if you go to the Facebook page and go to the Magic Word Podcast, that we would appreciate you liking our page there. Maybe we'll eventually hit that 1,000 mark. So until next week, stay well, get booked, and do a good deed for someone this week. This is Scotty out.